What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Two Woke Nerds podcast. I know we usually try to hit Tuesdays. This week got wet and wild on us. So, like my dad always said, better Nate than Lever. We're getting one this week. Side note, if you haven't heard that dad joke, you need to Google Nate the Snake right now. It's the best dad joke that's ever been written. But I'm joined today by the man, the myth, the legend, the man who would sell any appendage to be at the dinner between Donald Glover and, I almost just called him Lando Calrissian, Billy Dee Williams, Raymond Summerlin. Ray, how are you doing tonight?
First of all, that's a fact. And secondly, you brought up dad jokes. It reminded me, I somehow fell into a labyrinth that is Sly Stallone's Instagram page. I don't even know how I got there. But once I got there, I found out that he takes a bunch of videos of just him harassing his daughters. And he is the king of dad jokes. Sly Stallone, when he's not making Rocky movies and Expendables, apparently just spends his time mastering the craft of the dad joke. And that was one of my favorite discoveries of the week. We've kind of done this bonus don't sleep at the beginning. That's my bonus don't sleep this week.
We keep falling into these bonus don't sleep. So don't get used to it. You're only getting one normally. Ray and I are just in a generous mood.
Not for me. As long as I keep trolling famous 80s celebrities' Instagram accounts, you're going to get a lot of don't sleeps from me.
Excuse me. The box office receipts from The Expendables tell me that he is not just an 80s action star.
Hey now.
Just saying. There are way too many Sylvester Stallone Instagram accounts. You can get lost.
You get lost.
Most of them are just random pictures of him, which are actually kind of creepy.
Guys, yeah, I'm gonna agree with that sentiment. Yeah,
guys, we've got a great show for you tonight. We're gonna talk about some movie news, some video game news, some trailers, and then we'll, as usual, jump into Don't Sleep on It. So starting at the top with the usual whipping boy of the woke nerds, DC's movie universe. So after months and months and months of saying that he would be directing the film, the solo Batman film, Ben Affleck has now officially dropped from the project as director. He will still be acting, still be producing. And the script that he wrote is, quote unquote, getting a page one rewrite, which means the whole darn thing. So, Ray, after hearing this news, you have been nothing short of frigid on the DC movie universe, the DC extended universe. So what are your thoughts, feelings, concerns, questions about Affleck no longer directing the Batfleck film?
Well, first of all, if you don't know, Ben Affleck just released a film, Warner Brothers film, called Live by Night, which flopped hard, like as hard as a movie starring Ben Affleck can flop, for sure.
You said if you're not aware, nobody was aware, nobody saw it.
Exactly. The only reason I know is because I play a fantasy movie league game, so where you have to, the box office receipts, that's your fantasy points, and so whoever has the most box office at the end, or the biggest box office at the end of the week, that's who wins the week. That's right. That's how deep my love of fantasy goes. It's actually lots of fun. FantasyMovieLeague.com. Come play. It's a lot of fun. But the that's a second don't sleep. We're already two in. But I think that this probably has a lot to do with that. I mean, I've been convinced for a while that the only reason Ben Affleck is doing these movies is so Warner Brothers will finance the movies he actually wants to make, which Live by Night was one of those. He didn't do a great job of it, but he had done a good job with Argo. He had done a good job with The Town, which is both of them as well. So I think that this is just kind of a response to that. I mean, when something flomps that bad, then you kind of have to have someone pay the price. I imagine it's that. I don't think it changes anything. We were talking, if we wanted to talk about Aquaman before, that Aquaman, they figured out who the villain was going to be of Aquaman, and I quickly said, yes, the DC cinematic universe, because that's the villain of all of this. It doesn't matter. All of that said, I'm kind of excited about Wonder Woman, and I don't know how to parse those emotions right now.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Live by Night was that Affleck wrote it, and none of the movies you mentioned as being his big time movies he wrote. He directed them for sure. Chris Terrio did Argo. I'm not sure who wrote The Town, but The Town was the other one that really recently got a lot of acclaim. Peter Craig, Affleck co-wrote the screenplay, which, if rumors of how he co-writes screenplays dating back to Good Will Hunting means very little.
Bro, why don't you put my name on it, bro?
But no, so the thing that really gets me excited about this move is that the man that they're saying is doing the page one rewrite is Chris Terrio, who is the writer of Argo, which is good. Argo's a fantastic film. If you haven't seen it, there you go. Another Don't Sleep on It. I don't know how you haven't seen it. Won 3 Oscars. But Chris Terrio, the downside to that is that he also wrote BVS, which, you know, you take the good, you take the bad. He knows the universe at the very least.
He wrote The Facts of Life, too?
He did not write The Facts of Life.
Oh, okay. You suggested that he wrote The Facts of Life.
I
was about to be very excited.
He did not write The Facts of Life, Ray. But no, so Terrio has a mixed bag, but he has written some good stuff. I mean, he won an Oscar for Argo, so he's got to be doing something right. Granted, the only other movie he wrote after that was BVS, so...
In which they use the best DC villain for 3 minutes of plot building, of cinema, of universe building. So let's be very clear. Maybe he doesn't have a firm grasp on these characters as maybe he should.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. The tone of the Justice League trailer that we've seen already is positive. I will say that, but I definitely don't have hopes. I don't have hopes for the DC Extended Universe. Honestly, my hopes is that they don't announce any more films, and just after they get through this quick cycle that they're trying to do, they give us a hard reset. Because these characters are too good, too rich to be wasted for a decade on terrible films. And the more bad superhero films we get, the quicker the bubble is going to burst.
You know, maybe they could just end all of this nonsense and just make another Arkham game. I'd be okay with that.
I would love another Arkham game. And the rumors are that's actually going to be the plot of the Batman, is something along the lines of Batman gets trapped in Arkham Asylum with his rogues gallery.
In.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
I do not need Bruce Wayne. You give me Batman and you give me one central villain and maybe a couple of ancillary ones. I would love to see Clayface on screen. I would love to see a good Scarecrow in this universe. I think they could do some really cool stuff with Scarecrow. But we'll see. We'll see. They're doing, you know, again, the rumors are they're doing a page one rewrite, so it could be anything at this point. You know, Justice League is pretty much done. Like, they have a script. They're shooting. They know what it's going to be. Aquaman still can't find a director that's going to stay with it. So the ship is sinking. Let's hope that they can write it, or Warner Brothers decides to just reboot the thing again and start fresh. So with that in mind, a group that doesn't need to start fresh, a group that is literally printing money, Marvel, Disney, by the way, of Marvel, I guess I should say, announced this week that they have a licensing deal with Square Enix, the company that is known for not just Final Fantasy games, but for the Tomb Raider games, for the Deus Ex games. They will be making licensed Marvel titles. They did an announcement trailer that had the Avengers in disarray, really just their weapons. And then that same week, they announced that Eidos, the studio that did bring you Tomb Raider, Critical Darling, Tomb Raider, both of them, would be making a Guardians of the Galaxy game. So Ray, first, let's just start here. What is your hopes, fears, dreams again for licensed Marvel products? And then you can give me a little bit about Guardians. What do you think that game would be?
So I'm upset that Deus Ex is going to seemingly take a long vacation. I haven't gotten to Mankind Divided yet. I have it sitting, literally it's sitting on top of my Xbox right now. It's the next in the queue once I get done, you know, killing a bunch of Nazis, or not Nazis, killing a bunch of Germans in Battlefield 1. So as soon as I get done doing that, I'm certainly going to move on to Mankind Divided. So that's kind of a little upsetting. I mean, it really depends on what superhero game they want to make. It depends on how you want to do it. It's obviously going to have to be, you know, slash and crash. It's obviously going to have to be one of those games, which that's not necessarily a bad thing. Arkham is one of those games, and it plays pretty well. I think the thing is it going to be like, is it going to be like the video games of old, even like Ultimate Alliance, where it's you know, it's closed world. It's basically a dungeon crawler. There's not really any freedom to it. Or is it going to be like Arkham, you know, an actually good video game in which you're going to be able to run? It's going to be like the new Spider-Man, which looks like, I'm a little upset it's a PS4 only, because it looks like it's pretty good. So I think it's really, you know, what they want to do with it. I'm hoping that they've seen the success that Batman had. They're probably going to see the success that Spider-Man has. I'm hoping that they're going to kind of move into that open world. And in that case, they can be interesting. They can be just as interesting as any of those kind of open world adventure games.
Yeah, and it's funny that we just talked about DC, because in the video game realm, DC and Marvel have the exact opposite fortune. Because DC games essentially print money. Like, an Arkham game comes out, people are going to buy it. Injustice comes out, and it is the darling of not just the small niche fighting game community, but it's just a fun fighting game, and it's got a great story. On the flip side, Marvel hasn't really done a good game since the first Ultimate Alliance, maybe?
I think the second one was pretty well received, but it's certainly since Ultimate Alliance, and that was a while ago now.
We were still in college when Ultimate Alliance came out, if I recall correctly. So it's been a while, and I think Marvel, Disney has learned their lesson. I think once Disney bought Marvel, I think they realized what makes people want to be there. What makes the Arkham games good? They're true to the material. They feel like Batman. They feel like a Batman story. The villains feel right. The tone feels right. They get the right voice actors. And I think Marvel has learned that. We've seen that with the MCU. They make characters that feel like they should. They feel right. And so I think that's what we're going to get, is a story that's built around the characters, and it's built around not just a licensed movie property. It doesn't have to adhere to the storyline of a movie that may or may not be any good. Looking at you, X-Men Origins Wolverine game that was weirdly good for a terrible movie. So that is what I'm hoping for, is a game that stays true to the source material. I pray that they don't do an MCU game adaptation. I would love to see, this isn't anywhere going to happen, but I would love to see an MMO similar to like the DC Universe Online set in the Avengers world, something along those lines, where I get to create my own superhero and interact with those characters. Or give me a brawler. You know what? There's a reason why Diablo is still a thing. There's a reason why they put out new edition after new edition. There's a reason why people bought up Marvel Ultimate Alliance. There's a reason why they did it. Because it's fun. You can just go in there and be your favorite characters. So with that, we know the first game. We talked about it already. Guardians of the Galaxy, right? What would you like to see a Guardians game be? Like, what would be a style, a genre that you would like to see a Guardians of the Galaxy game be? And you cannot say real-time strategy.
I think that it'll be... Why would I ever say that?
It was making a terrible joke.
there's zero chance. I would like it to be like squad-based, open world. I'd like it to be kind of like Dragon Age Inquisition-y. I think something like that. Because the problem with it is when you're talking about Batman, you're talking about Spider-Man, you have one character, and that's fine, and you can just be that one character, and you can just move through the world that way. The problem when you have these multiple characters is sometimes you're going to want to be Rocket, right? And so so you're always going to want to be Groot. So how do you always, that would be the only character I would play as. He would be my version of Krogan for that series of games. But why would, so when you're going to do that kind of thing, you have to, I think, have kind of a squad-based system. And so that would be important. And like I said, I think it needs to be kind of open world. Open world is tough in space. Because you can't just walk from planet to planet. You know, that you can't do that. So that's tough in space. It's something that, well, we'll talk about Mass Effect. And it's something Mass Effect really struggled with early on when they were doing it. So I don't know if that's as feasible. But I think that it needs to be kind of that squad-based. And if it's, and if it, that's the way it is, and it's still just, you know, it's still just hack and slash, and that's all it is, then that's fine. As long as you kind of have that, that kind of world and character building that, that kind of squad based thing gives you.
Yeah, this is not a game that I don't think it's, I don't think it'll be like, but you see a game like Grand Theft Auto 5 that did a really good job of seamlessly going from character to character and telling a cohesive story. I would love to see something like that. I'd also see, like to see something like Dishonored, where you play through it with one character and you play through it with a different character and you get different story beats. Yeah. So that would be something that I would also love to see. I'm afraid, based on the studio that's doing it, that we're going to get a Tomb Raider Uncharted style game starring Peter Quill.
Yeah.
Like that's my big fear. You know, they made Tomb Raider, which Tomb Raider is basically Girl Uncharted, for lack of a better term. It's a little grittier than your Uncharted franchise, but that's what they do. And so I'm a little worried that we're going to get a Star-Lord Tomb Raidering on a planet game.
And it's a little, and like those games are kind of fatalistic. In that, I mean, there's just a path. There's one path, and that's it. And I don't particularly. I think we're past that, right? Maybe not, because I guess that. What's the terrible shooter that I can't even remember? Modern Warfare. Oh, Call of Duty. So Call of Duty sells every year. So maybe nobody,
nobody buys Call of Duty for the single player though.
Yeah, I guess so. But I guess so. But it seems like that hasn't disappeared. You know what game? You know what's funny? I think about this game, and I know that this is not a reference for anybody, but there was a Lion King game on Sega, and it was actually lots of fun.
It was,
and it was 2D, and that's how I think of these games. Just because they're in 3D now, just because Tomb Raider's in 3D now, doesn't mean that it's any different than Super Mario Brothers, right? It's still the same concept. You have one path. That's the only path you could take. There are a couple ways that you can do that, but that's basically it. That's not as exciting to me anymore. And if that's the way they decide to go, with only one character highlighted, with kind of the other characters just kind of in the background and the periphery, then that, I will not be excited about that at all.
Yeah, and that's a game that's built on, or that's not a game, but a franchise that's built on the ensemble.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can do that well. Which brings us to a game that does do that well, that it's integral to the plot, integral to what we're doing. We finally, a month out, got a story trailer for Mass Effect Andromeda. Almost 3 minutes of story footage. All, I believe it's actual cinematics from the game, which that game looks fantastic.
It looks like if Destiny took some steroids.
Destiny took some steroids and actually was worthwhile.
Hold on. The game was terrible, but it looked nice.
Looked real pretty. So Ray, we got almost 3 minutes of story. And honestly, like a good trailer, I have more questions than I have answers. So Ray, what were your impressions of the Mass Effect Andromeda trailer?
You know, it's funny. I watched it a couple times. I wanted to take something out of it. I didn't get much out of it. I liked it. I there's nothing wrong with it. There wasn't much I took out of it. I don't think there was much, and maybe this is just because I've dug into it a little bit. There wasn't much that I didn't see. Obviously, there's the one line that speaks to my soul.
Written for us.
Which it was written just for us and the way that we played Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, which was, I don't need an army, I have a Krogan. So that's exactly how I played Mass Effect 3 the entire time. So I'm 100% on that, but there wasn't really much I took out of it. I do know, and from kind of some of the stuff that I saw on and some of the other stuff that's not the trailer, is that it seems like they've kind of moved past this only good and bad, right? Only Paragon or Renegade. They've moved past that into more of a there's a gray area thing. It seems like the conversation is going to have more options. It's going to be they tried to say that it's going to be a lot more like Dragon Age Inquisition, which I just brought up because it's a fantastic game, and more games should base themselves on Dragon Age Inquisition because it's a great game. But there's Don't Sleep 5, I guess, for it. If you haven't played that game is amazing. It's spectacular. But so it's definitely better than Skyrim. That could be a conversation we have. Did you fear moving on, because Skyrim's not good and it really upsets me, but we'll move past it. So I don't want to ride a horse for an hour and a half to try to get somewhere.
Ray is officially triggered.
That game drives me nuts. But anyway, So they're going to base a lot of the conversation, a lot of the side missions and quests and things like that on that, which I like a lot. And I also heard that they're going to bring back the loyalty missions, which were missing from Mass Effect 3, which I like the loyalty missions quite a bit. So I'm happy those are coming back. So yeah, so there's a lot of things in there. There's a lot of things in there that I think I'm going to like. But like I said, I didn't really take much out of the trailer.
Yeah, I have more questions than I have answers, which I love in a trailer, especially for a game that's going to give me a 40-hour experience, 40-plus-hour experience. I think I did like 50 or 60 in Inquisition, which you could spend a lot of time in the Hinterlands. We'll just yes. move on from that.
That is accurate.
I would still be playing that game if someone hadn't told me just leave the darn Hinterlands. No, so there's so many questions, and I did some diving as well, and like, they're calling Ryder, the male Ryder, the Pathfinder. But if you look at the story, his dad is supposed to be. He and his twin sister's dad is supposed to be the Pathfinder. So what happened there? Is it just kind of a bait and switch thing, or is it something happened to dad when he was out there pathfindering, looking for this golden world? You know, I'm really excited. Like, how did these civilizations not ever come in contact with anybody else? Like, there's so many questions, and I'm so excited to learn the backstory and the lore. That's the best part about those games. You know, the story is great. The gameplay is great, but seeing the world building that they do and making you feel like you're a part of it. You know, it's so fantastic. I could gush on and on and on about Andromeda, but when push comes to shove, they showed me exactly what they want. They showed you who your party members are going to be. They showed you, you know, all of their different personalities. You know, I did some deep dives on the, like, they have like Andromeda Initiative recruitment videos. I watched like four or five of those last night because that's just how nerdy I am. But I'm super excited. There's nothing that could diminish my excitement for this, and this somehow amplified it. So I'm super excited. We've got a month left, and we're going to get to go to Andromeda. So guys, it's time for everyone's favorite part of the show. Your favorite segment, my favorite segment, your grandma's favorite segment. Don't sleep on it. Ray, I know you've got a hot take this week.
Hold on. You say it every week. I'm still so confused about it. Why is it their grandma's favorite segment?
Because their grandma listens to the show. Their grandma is not only woke, but she's a nerd.
What about the mom? But not mom and not dad and not grandpa.
This is not your mama's podcast, man.
All right. Continue.
This is your favorite segment, my favorite segment, your grandma's favorite segment.
Obviously, yeah.
Don't sleep on it. Ray, what should the folks stay awake on this week?
I've been watching Dragon Ball Super, which debuted in early January on Toonami, which still exists, by the way.
Apparently.
Who knew? I had no idea. Nope. But anyway, so Dragon Ball Super, it came out. And let me start out by saying that I like this show. I'm going to keep watching this show. But I fully understand if you don't like it and if you think that it's annoying. Super, it's a lot like the later seasons of How I Met Your Mother, which every storyline has been done. Every character has just been turned into a caricature of who they were before. Goku has an IQ of about 12 in this series. He was always dumb, right?
Okay.
But he has regressed even further at this point. The wink winks, like, there are a lot of wink winks in there. There was one where they said, "How long is it going to take us to get there?" And he said, like, something like 22 minutes, and he goes, "Oh, about the time of a normal anime episode," which is funny, but it feels almost like a kind of desperate lack of ideas more than just being clever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a wink wink for sure, and the fact that in Dragon Ball Z, Goku would power up for three episodes, right? But it's still there. So all of that stuff I understand. I understand why you wouldn't like it. I'm not saying that it's good, but I love it. I absolutely love it. It takes me back. It's the nostalgia is perfect. It takes me back to skipping football practice in the late 90s to go and make sure I watched an episode of Dragon Ball Z that I didn't want to miss, and having to explain to my coaches why I wasn't at practice that day. I think it's great. If you have no relationship with the franchise, then by all means you could skip it. But if you do like me, then I'm 100% in, and I absolutely love it.
Awesome. So I've yet to watch it. My wife and I are doing the no cable thing currently, so I've got to figure out a place where I can stream it that's not Crunchyroll, because I don't feel like paying for yet another streaming service, because at some point you just might as well pay for cable.
Yeah.
So my Don't Sleep, speaking of things that I'm streaming, I decided I was going to watch Riverdale. And so if you don't know what Riverdale is the CW's Archie Comics show, but it's not Archie Comics as you would expect. It is sexy teen murder mystery Archie Comics, where
who even are you?
Okay, we're just gonna keep going. So it gets better. So it starts off with somebody dying mysteriously.
Sure.
And then it jumps to Betty getting ready for her date with Archie, who suddenly got hot over the summer. And they're looking through his window. So Betty's still the girl next door, but she's got problems. Her mom is overbearing.
Oh, okay.
And she has to take meds to keep her focus for school.
So hold on. So this is like if John Hughes wrote an Archie comic.
This is more along the lines of if 90210 and Gossip Girl decided to get together and make an Archie comic, which I say 90210 because they allude to Archie's dad throughout this show. They allude to Archie's dad throughout the first episode. He doesn't want to play football because he's got to go help his dad's construction business, when actually he wants to go try to hit on his teacher who he had an affair with over the summer. That's right. That happened too, because Riverdale is nuts. So we finally get to see his dad, and who is his dad but none other than everyone's favorite former teen heartthrob Luke Perry. They are like fully leaning into the 90210 situation that's happening. Like, do yourself a favor.
Hold on. Is this on the WWWB?
The artist formerly known as the Racist Frog Network, yes. But you've got like, it's got all of the Archie stuff, but none of like the wholesome Archie that you expect from Archie comics. Like, Josie and the Pussycats are like kind of rude, sassy black girls, and Veronica, her dad is like on trial, and she's like kind of a woman of ill repute, for lack of a better term. She's kind of trampy. It's just like I told my wife last night, I watched it, and I was like, I don't know if I hate this show or love this show, but I cannot stop watching it. Like, I just couldn't. It's so bad. It is so CW. But I was just like, I've got to watch the next episode. Like, I got to see what happens. Like, is he gonna go with Betty? Is he gonna go with Veronica? Are they like? It's so dumb. It is so dumb. But I cannot stop watching it. So
this is so unacceptable. I can't believe that this is, you're about to be a father. You cannot be wasting your time on this kind of nonsense. The man who's watching Dragon Ball Super.
I've got to find stuff to watch during late night feedings, my friend. So if it's 30 minute chunks of Riverdale, it's going to be 30 minute chunks of Riverdale, because this show is a train wreck in the best possible freaking way. I cannot stop watching it. So do yourself a favor, or do yourself a disservice, and check out Riverdale on the CW.
We don't tell each other our don't sleeps before. I never in a million years would have thought that there was an Archie comic show on television, and that it's live action apparently.
Yep.
And that you would watch it, both watch it and recommend other people to watch it. And third thing, tell other people that you watch it. That is, you have blown my mind. This is fantastic.
Sexy murder mystery Archie. Watch it. Do it. Do yourself a disservice.
Comes
and
on
watch
after Scream Queens on Fox.
I don't know when it comes on because I stream it because it's 2017. Who watches things live nowadays other than sporting events? But guys, thank you so much for listening this week. We are so thankful that you made it all the way through the show. I normally try to say this off top, but I got into a little rhythm about Raymond and Donald Glover, so I didn't get to it. But guys, if you like what we've got going on, like us, leave us a 5-star review, or it's 5-star review, right? I don't know how iTunes does it. I've left one review for my own show. leave us a review. It helps with visibility, guys. Share the podcast with your friends, unless you actually really care about them not falling down the Riverdale rabbit hole. Ray, where can the good folks find you on the internet?
I am at RM Summerlin on the Twitter machine. And on Facebook, I have facebook.com/Raymond Summerlin.
Yep. Did you just recently get an Instagram too, Ray?
So Vine disappeared. And so now I need to be able to make videos of football players and post them to Twitter. So now I have an Instagram. And I don't know how I feel about it. I'm not particularly excited about it.
Yeah, it's... I'm honestly the only one I get on regularly is Instagram. And I do it for youth ministry stuff. Other than that... I could get on Twitter during sports events, but outside of that, I really don't like, I just, social media has lost its luster. I have been on social media since Zanga.
Yeah.
So
since Angel Fire.
Yeah. It has been a solid like 15 years of social media for me, and I'm just kind of over it. But you can find the show. I should say that after, as I'm about to pub the show's Twitter account. You can find the show at Two Woke Nerds. It's also at Two Woke Nerds. .wordpress.com. But until next time, guys, stay woke.
Stay woke.